I invite your attention to John chapter 5 and verse 6. John chapter 5 and verse 6. It's the question Jesus asked of the man the invalid man, who was lying at the pool, Bethesda. And Jesus said to him, John 5 verse 6, "Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well?" Now this man was an invalid. He'd been disabled for 38 years. This pool, it was believed, had properties that when the water was disturbed, the first into the pool would be cured of his disability, his illness. And this man was lying by this pool. And yet Jesus asks him, "Do you want to get better? Do you want to get better?" Now at first glance, let's be honest about it, this question seems utterly daft, foolish, pointless. I mean, the right answer from the man would have been, "Well, why else do you think I am here? What do you think I'm doing here? This pool is the place where I can get a cure, and I'm afflicted, and I want a cure. Of course I want to get better. That's why I'm staying here. That's why I come here." And yet that was not his answer. His answer was a rigmarole of, "Well, when the water disturbs, this happens, I can't get there, somebody else beats me," and on like that. As I say, the right answer would have been, "Stop asking silly questions. Of course I want to get better. It's the uppermost thought in my mind, in my heart. I want this. I've come here purposely for it. I just hate being disabled, and I want to be made right." The truth is, of course, that Jesus was putting his finger on something which is very important. And it ties in very much with something that I have noticed, that I've observed over many, many years, 50 years or more preaching. I have noticed something even more remarkable than a man lying by this pool with a question mark over him, "Do you want to be made better?" What am I talking about? I have noticed many people over these years who seem very interested and keen, eager to attend church services, to listen to preachers, and listen to preaching, and go through all the apparatus of what I might call church life. And yet, you may think me judgmental, but like a physician has to weigh his patients, I believe a preacher should try and make some assessment of the people he's dealing with. I say, these people have shown a willingness and eagerness to attend services and listen to preaching over many, many years. But the question is, they seem to have no spiritual life. They don't seem to be regenerate. They're not converted. They seem to be content to attend and listen, but they never actually come to the place where they have trusted Christ. They've been regenerated by God's Spirit, convicted of sin, repent of their sin, turn to Christ, and look to Him to save them. They just seem content to attend. Chapel attenders, church attenders, assembly attenders, whatever word you want to use, meeting attenders, listening to preaching, maybe even listening to sermons on the internet. Maybe you're one such now, my friend, listening to me. And I feel I must ask you, do you want to get better? Do you want to be made well? Let me ask you straightly. Do you want to be converted? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to know Christ? Do you want peace with God? Do you want everlasting life? Or are you content merely to attend, or maybe click on a mouse and listen to a sermon, listen to another sermon, listen to another sermon, and yet never come to Christ? Of course, you've got a rigmarole of your answers, well, this and that and the other, I don't know what your answers might be. You might take the line that some do, that, well, it's God's sovereignty, you know. The Bible tells me I have no power to believe and repent. I'm just attending, hoping I might get called. I'm waiting for a special word from God. Are you? You'd like a word from God? Well, I'll give you one. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. You're in the ends of the earth, aren't you? You're a human being, you're listening to me, then listen to God. You want a word from God? Look to Christ and be saved. Isaiah 45:22. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Every man, every woman, every child, every boy, every girl. You're listening to me. God commands you to repent. You want a word from God? Repent. You want a word from God? Come unto me, all ye who labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Is that a word from God? Of course it is. You want to get better, you say. Well, come to Christ to get better. He's the physician. I came to heal the sick, to save the sick. Not physically, I'm talking spiritually. To call sinners to repentance. You want a word from God? Well, I've given you several already. Obey the word. Do you want to be made better? Do you want to be saved? Then come to Christ. Look to me, says Christ, and be saved. Now you say, well, I'd like to know it was for me. You've given me those statements, but how do I know it's to me? Well, all the ends of the earth. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. You're in that number. God commandeth all men, everywhere, to repent. You're weary, heavy laden, thirsty. You say you want to be made better. You're thirsty then. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye, buy. Ah, if I could see my name there, if I knew it was for me. Are you saying that? As I say, this man had a rigmarole of excuses. What's yours? Well, I'm waiting to see my name there. Well, you never will. But I tell you this, even if it was there, that wouldn't work. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great preacher, said this. It wouldn't help me, he said, if I saw a promise, come unto me, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Or, look unto me, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, you see. And I will save you. He said, wouldn't do, because I'd always wonder if there was another Charles Haddon Spurgeon. But you see, the promise, the invitation, the command is universal. Come unto me, all who labor. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth. The question is not the promise. Of course, it's God's power to enable you to come. But the responsibility which I'm addressing here is, do you want to be made better? Do you want to be saved? Or is it all an excuse? You know, some commentators, great commentators, some preachers, some great preachers, have made a dreadful mistake upon this passage. They liken the pool to preaching. And they liken the angel coming down to the pool, the ministers preaching. And they encourage people to come and wait by the pool in the hope that God will call them. Some great preachers, some great commentators have made this point in their sermons, in their hymns, and in their commentaries. It's a load of claptrap. Dangerous, wrong claptrap. I'm not saying you shouldn't attend preaching. I'm not saying you shouldn't read your Bible. I'm not saying that you shouldn't attend services and so on. No. But I know no promise, no encouragement in Scripture for for sinners to go on waiting and hoping and just attending. Quite the opposite. The Bible tells me now is the time, now is the day. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. That doesn't mean seek over many, many years, just hoping, sitting there, waiting there, attending the ministry, attending the preaching. Not at all. It means close in with Christ now. So I ask you, my friend, do you want to be saved? I don't want to hear any excuses. Yes or no. I don't want anything to do with this Christ. I don't want anything to do with him. Is that your answer? I don't want to be saved. Is that your answer? Or is it, yes, I wish I was saved. I would like to be saved. Then if you want to be saved, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't go on waiting. Don't go on drifting. Don't go on hoping for something. Look and live now. The question is not daft. Do you want to be saved? It is most pointed. It's reaching into the very heart of the problem, your heart. I ask you again. Do you want him? Do you want Jesus? Do you want to be saved? Then look. And look now.